the L.A. Steel Show. I hope you liked our new intro music to the Friday night show.
No.
It's also the intro to the Thursday night show.
I liked our other intro music better.
So we're having a little... We'll ask George what he likes best.
I like the other one. I like the blues better.
I think they're doing something special for George's intro. But
yeah, we'll have to find a different introduction. But anyway, welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And we had George Dixon tonight. Friday night with George Dixon. And how you doing, George?
I'm fine. Hello, how you doing?
We're doing all right.
We're fine.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. Yep. There was a little scratchy noise there, but you sound better now.
That show was a little bit different. I had to take a second to listen for a minute. Yeah, but I think I heard you in the background, Leo, so...
I thought maybe it was a slip-up of an engineer,
but hey, look at...
I'll play it back for you if you like.
Okay,
I wanted your opinion of this one. Hang on 1 second. Listen to this for a second.
Song you want, and Leo will play it for you.
You think about it.
I'll do that, and we'll see.
The problem I got is Like, I can't use any copyright music, so I get, like, but they get millions of uncopyrighted songs, you know, on the internet. And trying to pick out, you know, and I've been trying to pick out great songs for our openings, you know.
Okay, all right.
I got the blues one. I kind of like it, the blues one for Tuesday and Wednesday. And Thursday, Friday, I got this, the one I just played. Well, not the one I just played, but the one that we opened the show with.
So you think about what you want, and then, you know, one of those that maybe sounds pretty good to you. I personally like
my
heavy metal.
Barnstormer.
Yeah, I like the heavy metal one myself, but...
Yeah,
my love is bass. I love the fiddle and the banjo.
You like that?
Oh, I
love one of those.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start our Friday, our Tuesday night shows with that. Lila's into heavy metal now.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
She leathers and
yeah, not quite.
And mascara.
Mike Cicera, he was into heavy metal.
Lila's got a hairpiece and it's down to her waist now.
Yeah.
Wait till you see her, George. You missed her the other day.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
She's changed her look.
Not quite.
She's a rock star now.
There you go.
I don't know what our cat is doing.
He's a wire attacking cat.
Our cat seems to like to attack things. I don't know what your cats do, but our cat has attacked a few of our computer wires, and maybe somebody has a suggestion of what we can do.
Kill the cat is a good one.
No, we can't.
Put the cat in a cage is another good one. Let's see. What else do you do to a cat that's destructive, George? You have two.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on that. Maybe sit down and have a nice long talk with a cat.
Actually, I was thinking of lettering her out for a day or two, you know.
Well, and, you know, that would do it, but maybe that's exactly what the cat wants, because, you have to look at nature. It's got its way of, you know, wanting to draw people or animals out. It's, it's a time of movement, of prey, of, just life coming to life again.
Yeah,
and the cats are no different. I mean, they're, you know, they even though they've been domesticated, but it's their primal instinct that gives them and has given them some identity that is giving them survival, you know, in their life.
You know, what I was thinking of talking about a little bit, if we could. I wanted to talk about Merkabus tonight,
talk about that first, because that's what George
is going into the unknown, understanding the unknown. All right.
But let's talk about the Merkaba first. So, George, what I know that Leo had talked to you about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you think we'll soon be taking off in those?
How do we get them ready?
And first of all, define for our listening audience what the Merkaba is, because not everybody knows.
Well, I think the best way to describe it is that it's an energy field that we have around us, and all living things have an energy field around them. And if you look at the symmetry of those energy fields, they take certain shapes, and it's understanding the movement in nature that you can actually predict, you know, the movements that it will follow.
Yeah, no. So if I wanted to, if I want to make people aware that they have the Merkaba already, they already have their own spaceships, trans-dimensional spaceships.
How do people get to recognize that energy field?
Yeah, how do they recognize it, and how do they utilize it, you know?
Oh, jeez. You know, this is, I think some of the changes that I'm experiencing right now is as a researcher, but also as a person. And, you know, getting an understanding of, I do have an understanding of the Merkaba field around us. And, you know, in a lot of different esoteric understandings, you can identify that with the luminous egg around a person, or the energy field, or the aura a person has. A lot of people see it as just a globe, a giant globes of energy around a person. But understanding that if you break down that that aura that you see, that, you know, it it follows a certain shape, and that certain shape is basically a star tetrahedron, or a six-sided star, and it's the same shape as the Star of David, one triangle up and one triangle down, and it's these two two triangles in spin in opposite directions that give it movement, and that it basically is who and what we are, that we have an energy field around us that stretches out about 55 feet. And that basically is is evident of the movements and where we are on a mental plane, even on a physical plane.
How do we start this thing up? How do we, if I want to get ready to go to the fourth dimension, right? And I get my Merkaba all set up. I mean, my Merkaba's ready. It's hot. It's running. All right. What do I do to get there now? Do I just think fourth dimensionally, or do I just push it forward, or how do I get from here to that
there.
Fourth to that to there? You know, in my Merkaba.
Well, first of all, can you take your Merkaba there? And this is one thing that I've been wrestling with, because understanding that electromagnetic field that we're talking about, which forms this energy field around us, what happens once you take away the three dimensions on that? The electrical field is only related to a three-dimensional reality, which makes up this three-dimensional reality that is around us and what we see and experience and feel.
So that would be...
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't have that it then.
That is three-dimensional materials, along with this energy field that we're talking about. But... What we would do was sidestep this whole three-dimensional reality and jump to the fourth dimension, which is a different field of energy. And if you take take a 90-degree shift from the electromagnetic field of energy, there is another field of energy. And this is the field of energy that we can relate to as being that dark matter or scalar wave technology, which is a different frequency of energy. And
so how does that manifest itself? If the Merkaba manifests itself as a star tetrahedron, how does the other manifest itself?
I don't know if it needs to.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I should read this. I don't know.
I'm not winging it, but I'm trying to put it in the perspective of things. And, it's understanding a fractal consciousness that, all things are happening at once. And with fractal consciousness, you have like a different, 100 different examples of something being played out. But the only difference is that you're only picking one of them and following one through. But there are many different movements going on that are part of you know, the original thought.
Maybe I can break in here only because I have the explanation of the Merkaba from the
the internet.
Yeah, but from John Bello Melchizedek, you know, Melchizedek, and it says here, you know, the Merkaba, also spelled, you know, different spellings, is a divine light vehicle allegedly used by ascended masters to connect with and reach those in tune with the higher realms. Mer means light, Ka means spirit, and Ba means body. Merkaba means the spirit body surrounded by counter-rotating fields of light, wheels within wheels, spirals of energy as in DNA, which transports spirit body from one dimension to another. And it shows a picture of the star tetrahedron. And then it says, in modern esoteric teachings, it's taught that the Merkaba is an interdimensional vehicle consisting of two equally sized interlocked tetrahedra of light with a common center. Where one tetrahedron points up and the other down, this point symmetric form is called a stella octagula, or a stellated octadron, which can also be obtained by extending the faces of regular
octahedrons until they intersect.
Yeah. In this book, researcher and physicist John Bello Melchizedek describes his figure as a star tetrahedron, since it can be viewed as a star-dimensional Star of David.
Three-dimensional Star of David.
By imagining two superimposed star tetrahedrons as counter-rotating along with specific prana or breathing techniques, certain eye movements and mantras, it is taught that one can activate a non-visible saucer-shaped energy field around the human body that is anchored at the base of the spine.
Huh.
He says, depending on the height of the person doing the exercise, this field is about 55 feet across. Once activated, this saucer-shaped field is capable of carrying one's consciousness directly to higher dimensions.
Now, have you ever experienced that, George?
Have I ever experienced that?
Yeah, have you done the exercise to activate the Merkaba? I'm sure you have. Right?
Yes, I have. I've activated my Merkaba.
Right.
And how did you do that? Did you do that with the breathing exercises?
Oh, yes. Yeah, in following the techniques that Jumbo lays out, it's very easy for you, you know, to follow, I think, the basic movements, and it's a good meditation, but it's a good understanding of the natural flow of energy.
So then what happened to you once you activated it? Could you feel it or see it?
Well, I think it's just being aware of it and being aware of an energy field. On a subconscious understanding, is just like if I'm low on energy, what I'll do is I'll take a few minutes, and I'll sit down and collect myself, and I'll go into a breathing exercise, and what I will do is re-energize part of that energy field around me. And, taking a 20-minute nap, you know, what I can do is bring my energy field back up, you know, but it's understanding the energy around me, and trying to utilize it for, how I know how. Just like what I will sometimes is back myself up to a big tree and sit and take a few minutes because, it's tapping into the natural energies of the earth, but also of beings that are not much different than ourselves, but it's just disproportionate differently. But I don't want to get into that.
Well, it just says, I'm just looking at the flower of life, and it says the flower of life is a geometrical figure composed of multiple evenly spaced overlapping circles that are arranged so that they form a flower-like pattern with a six-fold symmetry, like a hexagon. In other words, the center of each circle is on the circumference of six surrounding circles of the same diameter. In the temple of Osiris at Abydos, Egypt, contains the oldest to date example. It is carved in granite and may possibly be represent the eye of Ra, a symbol of the authority of the pharaoh. But what I'm getting at is that, what's the matter? We got a cat problem there. All right. What I was thinking of is how this the connection. You remember I was talking? I did a show 2 weeks ago on the circles by Emerson.
Yes.
He was talking about circles, yeah, and how these circles work, and now I'm looking at the flower of life and how these are done in geometrical circles, you know, and create this pattern, and it basically flows in the same way. You're dealing with you're dealing with the concept of circles of endless cycle. Cycles and cycles, you know, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm making these crisscrosses of concepts lately, and with different people, and each one having effectively connected with their Merkabas, you know what I mean? Even though they didn't call it Merkabas in different ways, but they connected with their center, and were able to transport because. Emerson was the founder of transcendentalism, which was essentially transcending the third dimension, transcending the present condition, and in the same way, so is the Toltec situation, Toltec group, transcending the first and second, third dimension rather. Into and moving into the unknown, and these are the elements here that I'm excited about, because in the Merkaba is the vehicle. Okay, once we ignite the energies at least understand or know where they are, and know how to organize them so that we can. Safely maneuver between dimensions. All right, this is a critical, I think, the most critical means for people to understand. So once they have the connection and understand that they're surrounded by this field of energy, that all they have to do is tap into their centers and you know, visualize the next dimension. And then they can be transported right to them. What do you think? Do you think I'm on the right track here, or what?
Yeah, without a doubt, you're on the right track. But I think where you're taking this train, I think maybe that's an old-fashioned way of getting to the point. And, Leo, it's not that I'm hesitating in talking about the Merkaba. For so many years, we did. But, you know, what strikes me, I think, is understanding that life, there is life that does not have matter connected with it. And, it raises ourselves up beyond the physical realms. And we're not bound by, say, the law of physics as we would understand it. And I think what's happening is that we are changing our focus. And when I say changing our focus, scalar wave is some of the newest understanding we have that in between atoms, there is a vast area of space that is empty, is void. And even between our different cells, there are, you know, whole universes of holes. And
right.
Understanding that we know that these areas now exist, and by focusing in on the energies of these black areas, that we can supersede any of the technology that we have, you know, by our single source of, let's say, of weaponry or of understanding lights. Understanding black matter contains all of that densum, and it's a different different relationship to a physical universe than the universe that we're in now, and if that's in the higher light realms. But you know that only goes up to a certain level, and understanding, you know, this dimensional reality that deals with the third dimensions, you know, we still have a few of the overtones that we have to reach in order to get to the 12 dimensions.
Just reading this segment here on breathing.
It's like yoga breathing.
Yeah. It's the 17 plus 1 breaths, where the first 6 are for balancing the polarity, the next 7
well, he
for
said that
proper
he,
rhythm.
That George said that he did that.
No, I'm just explaining. Yeah, but I'm explaining it to the listener. It says further breaths are for shifting the consciousness from third to the fourth dimension, and finally, the last 3 breaths is for recreating and rotating Merkaba within and around the body.
Now, is that what you did, George?
The last breath is not taught.
That's
each day,
right.
Meditation until the time comes when you are a conscious breather, remembering. With each breath, your intimate connection with God, okay? And then he goes on to say, first breath, inhale, okay? Heart, open your heart and feel love for all life. If you cannot do this, you must at least open to this love as much as is possible for you. This is the most important instruction of all. Okay, and then to open the mind, it says, mind, become aware of male tetrahedron, the apex facing to the sun and point facing to the front of male. For male, the point of the back for females, and filled with the brilliant white light surrounding your body, visualize it in the best you can. If you cannot visualize it, sense or feel it surrounding you. And it goes on. And this is the way to this is the way to energize your and recognize your Merkaba. And it's by John Below Melchizedek. You wrote it. I got his website here, George. You probably got a bookmark, but if not,
let me back up if we can.
Merkaba
and give an explanation of what he's talking about in activating the Merkaba. A lot of people will relate to meditation and opening the different chakras and moving the Kundalini energy up and down the spine. A lot of people relate to breathing techniques as dealing with controlling the breathing that comes in through the nose. But through spherical breathing that Jumbo is talking about, it's using the different energy fields of our body and, first of all, breaking them up where they belong, where you have 8 different fields of energy, one connecting with the earth and one connecting with the energy fields above. And let me gather my thoughts here for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead. But when I've been reading it, it sounds a lot very similar to breathing that you do when you're doing yoga or you're meditating.
Well, it's you're drawing now energy into yourself like you would in breathing,
right.
But you're drawing energy from your crown chakra and also the chakra that's under your feet is in the inner earth. It's in the earth itself. And if you're looking at this to a linear perspective, you think of maybe Leonardo's Da Vinci's drawing of the human body in perspective to its the energy or field as it breaks down to the different chakra bases of the body. Oh, geez, what can I say? where do you want to take this, Leo?
I don't know. Wherever you want to go with it, I guess.
Well, George is asking you where you want to go. So you do the breathing, and you begin to recognize your Merkaba. Can you actually see it?
Yes. Well,
or do you just feel it?
Well, feel it, but you have to understand that these energy fields that you're tapping into, it's not one energy field, it's two energy fields. And, you know, living in a polarity world, we need one to offset the other. And
there, George.
George.
Yeah, I don't know how to lead this into.
Let me just say this. Maybe this. The earliest Merkaba speculations were exegetical.
Who are you reading?
I don't know how to spell that.
Exegetical
expositions of the prophetic visions of God in the heavens and a divine retinue of angels, hosts, and heavenly creatures surrounding God. The earliest evidence suggests that Merkaba homiletics did not give rise to ancient accent experiences. As one rabbinic sage states, many have expounded upon the Merkaba without ever seeing it.
The Talmudic interdictions concerning Merkaba speculations are numerous and widely held discussions concerning the Merkaba were limited to only the most worthy sages. Adamantory legends are preserved about the dangers of overzealous speculation concerning the Merkaba. The sages, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Akavia, were deeply involved in Merkaba speculation. Beyond the rabbinic community, Jewish also engaged in visionary speculation concerning the divine realm and the divine creatures, which are markedly similar to the rabbinic material. A small number of texts unearthed at Qumran indicate that the Dead Sea community also engaged in Merkaba speculation. Recently uncovered Jewish mystical texts also evidence a deep affinity with the rabbinic Merkaba homilies. Recently, considerable scholarly attention has been paid to the use of Merkaba themes in early Jewish Christian circles. Merkaba homilies eventually consisted of detailed descriptions of multiple layered heavens, usually seven in number, often guarded over by angels and encircled by flames and lightning. The highest heaven contains seven places and in
palaces.
Seven palaces, and in the innermost palace resides a supreme divine image, God's glory or angelic image, seated on a throne surrounded by awesome hosts who sing God's praise. When these images were combined with an actual mystical experiential motif of individual ascent, and union is not precisely known.
By inference, contemporary historians of Jewish mysticism usually date this development to the 3rd century CE. Again, there is a significant dispute among historians over whether these ascent and unitive themes were the result of some foreign, usually Gnostic influence, or a natural progression of religious dynamics within rabbinic Judaism. As in the Bible, Merkaba and Deb, according to the verses, Ezekiel and its attendant commentaries.
talk about
from basic structure to the chariot. These angels are called the chariot, and the body of the chayot are like that of a human being, but each of them have four faces, corresponding to the four directions the chariot can go, north, south, east, and west, and the faces are that of a man, lion, an ox, an eagle. Since there are four angels, and each has four faces, there are the total of 16 faces. Each chayot angel also has four wings.
But it's what they see. And here's a different explanation. A Chassidic philosophy explains that Merkabah is a multi-layered analogy that offers insight into the nature of man, the ecosystem, the world, and teaches us how to become better people.
Four chariot angels represent the basic archetypes that God used to create the current nature of the world. And Ophanim,
which means ways, are the ways these archetypes combine to create actual entities that exists in the world. For instance, in the basic elements of the world, the lion represents fire, the ox, the earth, and the
eagle represents the wind, and man represents water.
So that's a different way of looking at it.
It's really fascinating stuff. But my curiosity.
Enough, enough.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Enough enough?
I don't know. I guess when it finally clicks, you know, I finally understand it.
Yeah, you're right. I've been giving this a lot of thoughts lately, and my views of the Merkabah is changing, I think, and it's because of where I'm going, where the Merkabah will take us, and, you know, I really feel that, you know, we have been able to grasp the understanding we have touched base with that Merkabah within us in this, where we are now in our state of our civilization. And I think we now have the knowledge that we had before the last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now that we know the imminent danger is ahead of us if we don't change our ways. But I think this time we will have the ability to change reality and change the outcome of whatever reality we put ourselves into, and that is part of the change that we're experiencing now.
But I still think, based on what I've read, that the Merkabah is the ingredient. Okay, is the way, it's the passage, it's the way that we can get out of this before it's too late. You know.
But wait a minute. When you say get out of this, I don't know if you would want to get out of this, other than it's you having the control of how long you're staying within this, let's say, the confines of this frequency that you're experiencing today. Because understanding that, you know, what you are doing is experiencing different frequencies going up the ladder or coming down the ladder, and it's those frequencies that you harmonize with. Some are good, some are bad. It's just like, you know, the weather pattern. Some people like, you know, sunshine, or some people don't. But it's part of the changing of the energies that we are exposed to. And these are basically the physics of our physical universe.
Now, George, when you said you did your breathing and you recognized that there was a Merkabah around you.
Let me come back to that. And understanding that there are two fields of energy that you're focusing in on, where you have one field of energy that's coming into the top of your head and one that's coming in right below your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And one is positive, one is negative, or one is male, one is female. And in America by itself, the star is such a hedgehog is made of tetrahedrons. One rotating in one direction, one rotating in the opposite direction, one facing up and one facing down. And these are the different fields of energies that revolve in their own speed, which are different from one another. And this is why there is reference made to the natural frequency, the Schumann frequency of the Earth right now, where normally the frequency itself was around 7.8 hertz of energy. But what's happened is that that energy has raised itself almost to 12 hertz of energy. And once it reaches 13 hertz, then what happens is that there's a shift. There's a shift in consciousness, or there's a shift in energy. It's like a time where natural energy would have to shift into a higher gear. And this basically is what's happening to, I think, the knowledge that we're able to grasp, let alone put into motion, that we are, our frequency of our brains is running much higher right now. And that is due to the speeding up of this energy field that the Merkaba consists of. Now, the male energy field, its rate would be much different, and that's raising to to 34, I believe. So these rates of energy are physically affecting the Merkaba field. This is only one reality.
Kind of like it's vibrating. It's the rhythm of the Earth, the vibrational level of the Earth, has now created, has ignited our Merkabas, basically. That's
yes.
What you're saying is it's like affecting the Merkabas, and it's now, and we are now ready to take off, you know. I think, or people are waking up because, you know, they're waking up to that energy field and that power.
Well, they don't have to wait around and wait for the first one or somebody to make a move for them to follow.
Right. To figure it out, how to do it, you know, and just do it. And then
I think people know how to do it. I really believe that.
They just
have to remind themselves, hey, you know, you got to do it, do it.
Yeah, you got to do it. You know, do it. Whatever it takes to generate to start that engine. And then once it started, then you just take off, you know. That's what I'm thinking. Because I think certain times, I think I can do it without the breathing even. Sometimes I can just generate this energy field that seems to go through walls. I mean, I can go through dimensions because I can float from one to the other. I know I'm there because of the way I feel or the way I sense it, the way I perceive things. But, you know, I can't stay there long. I tire because my body can't move in that direction. I have to leave the body and you know, in order to properly travel in the other dimensions. So, and that's rather difficult.
So what other dimension have you been to?
Fourth and fifth.
Well, you think you have. I don't think
fourth
so.
And fifth.
I don't think so.
You know, Leo, there are many, many different levels that you can go to, but, you know, it's like everybody has a different technique. It's just a matter of adapting a technique, you know, to your own technique, whatever you feel comfortable with, and, you know, instead of getting hung up with all the particulars, you just have to go with the feelings that, that you want to produce.
It's like that Celtic path. They said you once you develop the understanding, then you'll continually be between the third and fourth dimensions. You're there, so you're constantly shifting back and forth. Actually, unconsciously, because you're and then you start unconsciously, then you start to develop a conscious awareness of your dream state, and that's what takes hold of your consciousness. Understanding your subconscious allows you to understand your conscious and why you do what you do, and changing. You have to change your focus, change your habits in order to change your realities. And that's all it takes. You don't necessarily have to go through a time machine or anything. I mean, you're just basically going from one perspective, to another, until you're convinced that you've been there, and then you're convinced of that perspective. You move on to the next perspective, which is unknown to you, but, by seeking it, it comes to you. You find your pathway there. And I mean, that's what I've seen and what I've read and how I've been able to travel back and forth. In fact, George, you have convinced me more than once of my fourth dimensional existence. You know what I mean? We've discussed topics. We've spent days within a fourth dimensional fourth dimension state of mind. Because, I can remember sitting on your back porch, a couple of summers ago there and just kind of, falling into discussions we knew, and you even said, Leo, you are in the fourth dimension, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's how it feels. That's how it, operates. And unfortunately,
I think we sometimes, I forget, that, we're more than, just a bunch of a bucket of blood and guts.
Yeah.
We're sentinel beings. And, it's hard to believe, but I really believe that each and every one of us is holding up the reality that we're experiencing right now. Nobody else is doing it. We're doing it. I mean, if you would want to say God, your personal God is doing it, yes, go right ahead. Because I'd be the first one to admit that, my God is given me something here and is an insight into light, and we're all connected. We're all connected.
Here we are creating this reality every Friday night with you. Every other Friday night with you. And Lila and myself and all those who are listening, but this is a reality, and not only is it for that time frame 8 to 9, but it's also archived, so it can be any time. It can be timeless, that people can experience or walk into that reality at any time. And it's just like walking into another universe, another area, just by tuning your frequencies. So. That's what, tuning in a radio, tuning in, to a internet connection. It's all a matter I believe it's all a matter of synchronicity. People thinking alike at the same time, being drawn by some cosmic force that draws you to this program or to a program or, to something that we've said or something that somebody else has said. But regardless, I believe that we are all operating now on that synchronistic guidance, if you will, finding, pushing us, like you and Lila and myself and the rest of the world, toward that next, toward the unknown, toward the new evolutionary jump that we're about to take. And I believe people are expecting that. I believe people are in their hearts know that this is really happening, and yet they're unable to express it to anyone because you know, they haven't yet found the way. And, you know, by us talking about this tonight, there'll be people who will pick up on this and understand it and move on to other higher dimensions and bring
Neil,
other
people. If I can break in
yeah.
for a minute.
Sure.
Layla, are you still there, dear?
Yeah, I'm just listening to the different opinions that you have.
Well, you know, it's in our conversations the last month or so, I think, you know, including what the hell has been going on over there in Japan. It's terrible. It really is.
Isn't it awful?
Yeah. You know, it's like you can't point the finger at, you know, who did this or somebody did that, even though, you know, some of the technology that we have could possibly be part of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's trying to overcome, you know, some of these things now that that we're experiencing. And, you know, I, in my heart, I know that, you know, we can clean up the pollutions of the earth. We can clean up about 75% of it now. We have that technology, but yet we don't use it. And, I mean, oil spills and so forth, we can instantaneously convert that back to its natural element, which is amino acids and water. We have this technology.
Why didn't you do it, George?
George, why do you think it wasn't done?
Well, I think because of the powers that be in the petroleum industry. Right now, we are seeing the ending of an era. Ending of the petroleum age. And, you know, it's part of this end times that we're experiencing. It's the ending of one, starting of something new. But I think at this point, my own feeling is that I'm not worried because mankind, I mean, we can take care of ourselves. But the other problem we have is atomics. And ever since, you know, the 1940s, we've polluted the atmosphere and, you know, polluted the just the environment. And understand that, you know, we have evidence now over in the Middle East that there were nuclear explosions, you know, going back, you know, a couple thousand years. And it's because of the our knowledge of atomics. But my point is that we didn't have a way to counteract, you know, its effect on us with radiation poisoning. And heaven knows, you know, this plutonium is deadly stuff. It really is. But, you know, I think it's understanding our technology and, you know, there is a way to convert that, and that is through understanding some of this scalar wave technology, which is dealing with that energy, you know, that's in the void around all the different atoms. Now I feel good because we have the technology where we can even clean up the atomics, but it's a matter of implementing it. And I think I was looking for interventions or something to intervene here and give us some hope. And I think right now it's hope that I know could manifest itself. It's something that, if nothing else, I could focus on, I will focus on, and trying to bring, you know, what healing power or whatever I can, you know, to some of the devastation that these people are experiencing over there. I mean, my heart is out to them 100%. And, you know, it's like that movie Star Trek where a planet is blown up, you know, well, Spock felt it. And believe me, I feel their hearts, you know, some of the anguish that went out I'm more concerned with the people instead of the governments that are controlling this thing. I'm happy that the illusion is falling apart and people are seeing it for what it is. But There is a way out of this, and I think all we have to do is sit back and put our minds to work in a direction that is not so selfish, but it's more of a unity bonding of all understanding that we're in this together, and that our life is independent of one another, but we give it meaning.
Well, we're all interdependent on each other. There's no question about that. What's happening to the Japanese people and Japan is going to happen to us. We're going to be affected. We're going to be seriously affected, and it's something that we can't ignore.
In what way do you think we're going to be affected, Lila?
Well, first of all, we bear a huge responsibility for it, because we're the ones that develop nuclear power and then encourage other people to use it. We have that responsibility.
Nothing we could do about that, so let's think about that. What else?
That makes us responsible, George.
There's nothing we could do about it, so there's no sense in putting too much into it. What alternatives do we have here?
What alternatives do we have? The alternative that we have is to get rid of all of nuclear power if we can, so it never happens again, and then work together. The whole planet should work together to help clean up that mess in Japan. Because it affects all of us. It's a very small world.
How can they do that, though?
How can they do that?
How can the people of the world, how could they do anything about it?
Well, you know what? We could if we wanted to, George. We've done all kinds of things. Human beings have a lot of potential. We just are too selfish to do anything.
Okay. You're right.
I think we have vast potential, but we don't care enough to do anything.
You're right.
And it's so much easier to keep things as they are.
You're right. You are so right here. But you know what? I think the last show, I said to you, I understand exactly what you're saying, and your flight is hard sometimes. So I told you to take a seat, go buy yourself an ice cream cone, sit back, and relax. Enjoy. You know, don't let this thing upset you anymore. Just relax. Give it to somebody else. And I told you I will take that responsibility and pray for you or carry over whatever you're doing in helping to heal this. It's understanding that I care for your plight.
I'd have an ice cream.
Yeah, I can't do that. I wish we would all work together to solve the problem. That would be wonderful.
No, we can, but if nothing else, it's the meaning of the minds, and I'm just using that as an understanding that, you know, I understand that sometimes it's hard for us to break old habits, but, you know, it doesn't take much. Just, you know, a five-second thought, mental thought, that's all it takes to touch base. And that is what makes miracles. It really does. And, you know, we get so bogged down with so many ritual understandings of prayer, of praying for people and healing and so forth, that, you know, we forget the initial allegation is to help, you know, or take the suffering away from people. We have the ability to not only heal ourselves, but also to heal other people. And it's through the heart that we do this.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And I think if we all had a meeting of the hearts and minds, we'd accomplish a lot.
Yeah, but in the meanwhile, somebody's going to have to hold up the fort there, and I'll be there as long as I can breathe. Because you know what? I love people, and you know, I don't take life as seriously as maybe I should. But I sit back sometimes, and I smell the roses because I only have the day, and nothing is guaranteed, and that's the way life is.
Oh, and that's really important to really enjoy the day, and I try to do that as well. And just to enjoy the moment that you're in, the very moment that you're in, because that's really all you have. You don't have the past that's gone, and who knows about the future. So you might as well enjoy right now. And that you can do that, but you can also be concerned about what's happening with others, too.
Right. Yes, but sometimes... There are more ways or more options we have now, and it's because of whatever point that we've reached. But you know, there's options out there to anything and to everything, and I really believe that if you want to believe it, I think we've been saved because we have been able to see those options and put them to use. And I think just going to the moon is just one example of, you know, where mankind has gone or has come from. And this is going back, you know, 9772 B.C. So, hurrah, hurrah, what can I say?
Well, anyway, we've come right to the end of our hour.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good point to end. And we'll think in the most positive terms that we can and use the feeling part of ourselves to connect with others and hope that there can be something that will be done to help the earth because it needs a lot of help right now.
Okay, George. I want to thank you. Yeah, thank you for tonight's talk.
Well, God be with you, folks, and I'll be speaking with you in a week or so.
All right,
you take care, George.
Hopefully sooner. All right?
Adios.
Okay. Good night.
Talk to you later, George. Good night. And I want to thank everybody for joining us, and tell your friends, tell your neighbors.
And good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.